I pray God's grace and his peace and his mercy would be yours in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So like I said just before the service started, our gospel lesson for today just didn't have a lot of gospel in it. Gospel is that Greek word we throw around in church all the time. You probably don't use it out on the sidewalk much, outside these walls, but it just means the good news. And the overall message of the four gospels in the Bible is that Messiah has come, and his name is Jesus. He has redeemed you, he has saved you, he has made you perfect in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. And that is good news. But sometimes, you know, for the services, we run on a three-year program. There's really sort of two programs that assign readings to every Sunday. There's what's called the historic lectionary. That's a one-year one. That's kind of the one the Lutheran Church used historically. But there's also a three-year series. We use the three-year series. So there's 3 years of every Sunday has assigned readings. And sometimes when you pull out a little, what's really amounts to a little excerpt from the gospel, it sometimes doesn't have a lot of gospel. I have to tell you, there are times up here when I read the gospel, then I have to say, this is the gospel of our Lord. This is the good news. And I sort of chuckle because I think, lopping off your hand? This is the good news? Right? That there wasn't a lot of gospel in today's reading. I mean, you know, we heard things like, don't murder. But if you think an unkind thought, you've already murdered. And don't commit adultery, but if you look a little too long, you've already committed adultery. In fact, the entire reading for today makes it clear that no one could ever be good in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. Of course, we know that's not true because we have Jesus. But Jesus goes so far as to say, throw your hand away, throw your eye away, get rid of anything and everything that causes you to lose sight of God and his will and his word. But who would be willing to have their eye removed for salvation? That's a daunting task. But what if it was the only way? What if the only way you could escape the torment of eternal hell was to lop off your hand and remove your eyes? How full would churches be? So then the question is, did Jesus really mean it? I mean, was he serious? Was this just hyperbole? Was he just sort of trying to, you know, shoot for the moon in an effort to teach a lesson? Or was he really serious? Maybe he was really serious. But of course, Jesus also knows that doing things like cutting off your hand is more than most people would ever be willing to do, which is why he took salvation out of our hands and took care of it himself. You see, where we can't do anything to get ourselves into heaven, he could, and he did, do everything to get us into heaven. Jesus didn't just give up a hand or an eye. He endured hours of cruel beating, betrayal, and berating by people against whom he had done no unkind thing. In fact, he prayed for them, he reached out to them, he tried to be their friend. He had come to give them eternal life. For that, he was nailed to posts and lifted up to hang in the sun to die. And the death he died was a horrible, painful, torturous death of suffocation. And you'd think that should be enough. I mean, surely that should have earned our way into heaven, but it wasn't enough. There was more. In fact, there was a lot more. Jesus also had to not only carry our sins. Scripture says he had to become sin. He had to actually become the thing that God hates most. All of the Father's rage and hate and venom and contempt for sin was unleashed on him. He was wholly and completely abandoned by God. He was, while hanging there on that cross, in hell while he yet breathed. If you ever want to see what hell looks like, look to Jesus on the cross when he screams, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Because there, right there, for all to see, was a person enduring the vile, unendurable, unimaginable torment of being completely and wholly cut off and separated from our Heavenly Father. Why is the question? Why did that happen? And why did Jesus say, cut off your hands and remove your eyes, do everything to keep you out of hell and bound down that narrow road that leads to heaven? I think to answer that question, we need to ask another question. Why did Jesus go through all of that horrible torture and pain? Why did he bother? You know you. Are you worth it? Besides, that happened 2,000 years ago. You weren't even born then. You hadn't done anything wrong or right, for that matter. Why did he do that for you? Of course, the answer is love. Scripture says God is love. That is the very inherent nature of his very existence. Often in the church, we have these sort of phrases that we probably use among just us pastor types. But God's vengeance, God's anger, we call that his alien qualities, meaning it's not who he is. He is love. So, but why doesn't he attack and take revenge on all the unfaithful people in the world? Think about the numbers. Think about the literally billions upon billions of people who have lived and died since creation. There have been billions of people who have ignored him, lied about him, hated him, even tried to attack him and erase his name from the earth. Why didn't God punish all of them? All of us? Why did he take it out on his own son? Now, you might remember those events like the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and the 10 plagues of Egypt. There are times when God does exact revenge, when he does go to war. But if you look at the timelines for when those things happened, those things are actually profoundly rare. And there is vast expanses of time between those events. God rarely acts that way. It is almost always out of a final act of desperation to ensure some remnant of the faith could remain. But what's he so desperate about? Why did God hold back all of that wrath and anger that he could have and should have exacted upon us throughout the entire course of human history? Why did he wait all those thousands of years until his son was born to really take it all out? Then why did he wait another 30 years until his son Jesus was betrayed and framed by friends? In fact, the father waited until his son was nearly dead, physically and mentally exhausted, and then the floodgates were opened. Not just some, not just a portion, but all of God's holy, unrestrained, unfettered, unshackled rage was unleashed. But not on the traitors and the liars and the saboteurs, not on the false teachers and the heretics, not even on you or me. It was unleashed on his own son. Could you have done that? Probably not. I mean, you love your children, don't you? Even when they misbehave, even when they're purposefully defiant, you still love them. You still love them, and you're not even perfect. Imagine our Father in heaven who loves perfectly. How could the one who loves perfectly do that to his own son? I think parents can get a taste of what that must have been like for him and what a difficult and daunting job that must have been to do. But then we get back to this question, why? Why did they do that? Why did the Father take out his anger on his son Jesus instead of us? Why did Jesus eagerly and voluntarily step up to take the cross for us? Because of you. That's really the answer. You are the reason why. God created us to be exactly what he wanted us to be. He created us to be the kind of eternal beings he wanted to live with him forever. He wanted to show us how much he really loves us, to show us how deeply he cared for and about us, to show us how deep and how high and how far and how wide his love is for us, and how serious he is when he says, "Nothing will take you from my hands." He did all of that. He endured all of that just for you, so that you wouldn't have to cut off your hand, you wouldn't have to remove your eye, so that you really wouldn't have to do anything. He did it all just for you. At the beginning of the sermon, you might have thought hands and eyes were an awful lot to ask. But now that you see the real price that was paid, maybe they aren't quite as expensive as you thought. But the truth is, hands and eyes wouldn't be enough. Jesus' point was, don't take this stuff for granted. Don't take your salvation as something insignificant or incidental. It was earned for you at an incredibly great price. It required a parent to kill his own son, a father to torture his own son to death. It was a price you cannot begin to imagine. Why? Why did he do that? To give you a life you cannot begin to imagine. To give you a life, an eternal life, where all of the mess of this world will be just a distant memory and a fond memory of how God displays his love in vast and unmeasurable ways. In our gospel reading for today, there was not a lot of gospel, not a lot of good news. Jesus was laying down the law. He did not do that to make you sweat your salvation. He did that to help you see how much your salvation cost. He did not do that to make you feel guilty or feel like you owed him something. He did that to express his incredible love, care, and concern for you. Jesus, while he walked this earth, often wept for people. He wept for them because he cared about them so much, even those who hated him without reason. He, of course, knows that life here is tough. He knows the road to heaven is rocky and rough. All he asks from us is that we trust him, and he has shown us that we can. He walked the road ahead of us. He has shown us the way. Follow him. Trust him. Rely on him. He is your salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to heaven. And he has come to show you your Father's love. He has come to get you safely home. Amen.